Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 95. He's coming back. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on September 29th, 2019.
Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. Yeah. And I want to speak to you about that this morning. Amen. Because he is coming back. Yeah. And maybe the things that we just talked to in just the last few minutes have something to do with him coming back. So when you're looking at the subject of Jesus coming back, I think one of the most important things to look at is what he says, which we'll do in just a minute. But I want to start this message this morning with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This is what Paul wrote to this church many years ago. He said, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." So that advice to the church in Thessalonica is really God's advice to the church today. He's saying, wake up, don't be asleep, don't be caught asleep at the switch, and just remember that when Jesus comes, it'll be like a thief coming. If you knew the thief was coming, you know, you'd prepare, right? But most people don't know the thief is coming, so they're unprepared. So this morning, I want to look first at what Jesus said in Matthew 24. If you want to read about the times that we live in, Jesus' words in Matthew 24 and 25 are really, really important sections to read. But I want to start out with chapter 24 from verse 1. It says, "As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, 'Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another.'" When we visited Israel a number of times, we've had the opportunity to go to the Temple Mount and to go underground along the old wall of the western wall of the temple. And one of the things that they explain when you're taking the tour, the underground tour on that western wall underneath there, is that the reason that the Romans totally destroyed the temple is that they were after the gold. What had happened is somebody had set the temple on fire, because the temple was actually made out of wood and it was overlaid with gold. So the gold melted in the fire and ran down into the recesses, into the basements of it. The only way the Romans could get the gold was to take every stone off and get down to the bottom. So that's why they totally obliterated the temple. Normally, when oppressing nations attacked other nations and took their gods and their temples, they would leave them intact, and they would take the relics and the things from those temples back to their nation as a sign that they've conquered the nation. They usually didn't destroy the temples. They left them as a landmark. And then they put their gods into those temples and so forth and so on to show that land that they were conquered. But this was an unusual case. And this was Jesus' prediction to his disciples. Don't wait around, because this one's going under. So verse 3 says, "Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples said privately to him, tell us when this will happen. What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? You see, that's really a pertinent question for today. People are wondering, okay, you know, you've been saying Jesus is going to come back, and you've been saying it for, you know, a couple thousand years. So, you know, like, come on, tell me, when's he coming? What's the time? So listen to these words that Jesus spoke to them, because this really can lead you and guide you on this question. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. Some versions say, don't let anybody deceive you. So one of the signs of the end times is deception, because people will deceive other people. Ministries maybe will deceive people. Religions will deceive people. It's one of the signs of the times, and it was a prediction of Jesus. So many of the things that we're going through today in our day, they're prophetic things. Jesus prophesied them. The people in the Old Testament prophesied them. And many of the writers in the New Testament have prophesied them. So he said, what will be the sign of your return and the end of the world? So those are really two questions, his return and the end. So Jesus said, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name and saying, I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. Notice that. Many. Many people will deceive. Many people will fall for the deception. Verse 6 says, and you hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't immediately follow. So how many have heard of some wars recently? I mean, our whole generation, it's been war after war after war after war. I don't know how many dozens of wars are going on now in this world, but there are several in a number of different places. So he said, but don't worry, the end isn't just yet. Verse 7, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So those words that are translated in that way, actually, in the Greek, it says, you could say it maybe this way. Ethnic groups will be against other ethnic groups in the world. That's a sign of the time. So all of the things that are racially motivated and ethnically motivated, those things are prophetic things. They were prophesied by Jesus and by others to take place. Then he says, there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. How many have heard of about a few of those? In this last number of years, the number of earthquakes has increased dramatically over previous years. So these are all signs of the end times. And then he says, verse 8, but all this is only the first of the birth pangs with more to come. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it probably will get worse before it gets better. So you think, well, that's not a very good prospect for anything, because I just want it to get good. I just want it to be better. Well, the reality is that we're living in a time that's probably not going to be better. So the question is, how are we going to deal with the issues that arise out of that? And we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. So all of this, he says in verse 8, is the first of the birth pangs with more to come. Verse 9, then you will be arrested and persecuted and killed. Now, that's not very nice either. Rivka was just talking about getting arrested in Cuba. That was an interesting little time. They just detained them for a couple of hours. They didn't really put them in jail or anything. They just took their passports and stuff. But that doesn't normally happen when we go to Cuba. So this is not a this is not an advert for let's go to Cuba and get arrested. So normally they treat you very, very nicely. It just happened that some people didn't like what they were doing in that particular area. So anyway, praise the Lord. That's another story. Then he says, you will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. If you read the news, you can see that there's an increase in people that are against Christian values, Christian faith, and anything that Christian do. The media is basically against Christianity for the most part. There may be some that are saying it's okay and so forth and so on, but the majority of media is set against Christian faith and Christian beliefs. And amongst the issues are the issues of gay marriage, abortion, and several other items that have kind of have perked that. So some people think we love our guns, our Bibles, and our religion more than we love people. But that's their view of us, and you can't really blame them for the view, because basically that's what they've been taught in the schools, that's what they've been brought up with. And the other obvious thing is that many Christians, many believers are not living what they say they believe. So when that happens, then people turn against Christians and turn against the faith. But Jesus said, basically, this is what's going to happen because you are my followers. Verse 10, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Isn't that amazing? Because that's a picture of our day. People betraying each other and hating each other. I mean, the divide in our own nation has gone beyond just, I don't like your policies and I don't like the way you believe and I don't like this and that. It's, I hate you because you're like this and you're part of that group. You're detestable, you're deplorable, and so forth and so on. And that goes on really from both sides. It isn't just that, it's those bad people over there. It happens on the side of Christians, which it should not happen, because we're supposed to be loving people. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he said many people will hate each other. And then he says false prophets will appear and deceive many people. So it's going to happen. And you've seen it happen. I mean, you've seen reports of different cults and so forth that have been exposed. And it's happening in front of our eyes. Then it says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. So they say that Christianity is on a decline in America, and for sure in Europe, it's been declining for many years. In fact, they call it post-Christian era in Europe. But yet, when we went to Spain just a few weeks ago, we won many people to Jesus, because the hearts of the young people are open to the gospel. And when you present the gospel to them in a way that they can understand, they understand that Jesus loves them and cares about them. They understand that there is some other way, even though they've been taught that there is not that way, or that God is dead, or there is no God, or whatever you feel like you do should be good. So we need to counter that with the gospel, because Jesus said that the end really won't come until the gospel is spread to the ends of the earth. Said that in Matthew chapter 24. But here he says sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. But then look at verse 13. It says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So that brings it down to you. That brings it down to me. The rest of the world can all be going one direction. But what about you? You don't have to be one of those, right? You don't have to be one that goes the other way, that goes with the world. You can be the one who endures to the end and be saved. Amen? So that's part of what we want to talk about this morning. How do you prepare for that? How do you be that person? Praise the Lord. So then he says, and the good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout all the world so that the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So Jesus answered their question, but he gave them a lot of information in between answering their question about when the end will come. The end will come when the gospel is preached to all the nations. So now you can understand why the need for missions. Some people think, well, if God wanted to save wants everybody to be saved, why doesn't he just save everybody? It's because he's given the job to people to take the message, and through the gospel, people will be saved. All those who believe on the name of Jesus have the right to become children of God through faith in him. But if they don't ever get the message, they don't have an opportunity. So that's why you and I, that's why the message that Rivka was pounding was it really is an appeal. You know, are we going to let our generation go into eternity without Jesus? That's what it's about. So whether it's here in Fort Wayne or whether it's some nation abroad, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to ask God about missions because he might send me to some place I don't want to go. I mean, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to this place. I don't want to go to that place. You know what? When you become a follower of Jesus, it's not about you, what you want anymore. It's about what does he want? And you say, well, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I don't have enough money. You know, those are just excuses. Excuses are things that we use to rationalize why we don't have to follow the instructions, right? So if we want to make excuses, we can make excuses, but will our excuses stand up and measure up when we have to stand in front of him? Because in the end, we have to report on our actions to him. Amen? Praise the Lord. So this is not about guilting people into doing things. It's about, do we have enough conviction inside about really the times that we live in to be engaged in a way that's meaningful and that's a blessing to others? I mean, if we live our lives to be a blessing to others and we can touch people's lives with the power of the gospel. I mean, just think about this gentleman that Thomas prayed for who got his healing. I don't know where he is today, and I don't know, you know, what kind of lasting impact made on him, because people have miracles and then they fall away from God. It can happen. But if somebody follows through with him and nurtures the seed that's been sown in his life, if somebody wants to invest in that person's life, wants to invest their time and their life into a person's life, that man can be changed. Amen? Amen. Just because he said, you know, said the sinner's prayer, came to Jesus, or said, I want to have Jesus in my life, doesn't mean he's going to stay that way, but at least he has an opportunity to stay that way. Amen? If nobody had ever talked to him about it or, you know, brought the healing power of Jesus to him, he'd still be out doing whatever he was doing. And that's the reality with every person that we have an encounter with, whether it's a person at work, whether it's a, you know, person in our neighborhood, whether it's somebody that in our families. You know, many of our family members need a touch of God, need the ministry of the Lord Jesus in their lives. But if nobody talks to them and nobody confronts issues with them, or, you know, just breaks the ice with them or loves them, listens to them, discerns and responds to them, it's not going to happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, Jesus said the gospel will be preached. So now I want to take a look at kind of three things that I believe will help you in this. How do we process this, and how do we get ready for this? So the question we started out with is when. When is Jesus coming back? And there's kind of three points about this. The first is it's not for us to know. The second is, when it does come, we shouldn't be unaware. Amen. And the third is, when it comes, we ought to be prepared. Yeah. So those are the kind of three areas I want to talk about just for a few minutes. First of all, some of these, I'm just going to give you some scripture verses. So if you're a good note taker, you can look it up later, because we don't have time to read all the scriptures. But first point is, it's not for us to know. In Mark 13:32-37, Jesus said, nobody knows, basically, except for my Father. So he's taking things back to his Father. He says, he's the one that knows. He's the one who sets the timeline. He's the one who sets the date. If you want the information, you have to go to him. But nobody knows. So when people come to you and say, well, it's going to be October 15th of 2020, you can already say, okay, a lot of people have tried this. It hasn't worked out yet. And it's probably not going to work this time either.
Right.
You know, because people are trying to predict, you know, when the end of the world is. And, you know, sometimes cult leaders have led people up on the mountain and they've stayed there and waited for the end to come, and it didn't come. So what's the problem? The problem is nobody knows except the Father. So when somebody says that, you can be on guard. And what Jesus follows up with is in that scripture, as he says, be on guard, stay awake, and be alert. Nobody knows, but just be watchful. In Matthew 25, 1 to 13, Jesus basically is saying, be patient and prepare. So we don't have to know, but we need to be patient and prepare. Paul's synopsis of this sounds like Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, now concerning the times and seasons, you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So it's kind of the same thing that Jesus is saying. Nobody knows, but it's going to be a surprise to many. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he says, the writer says, times and seasons, they're not for you to know. It's not for you to know the dates and the times, but you can know the season. In other words, you can get a feel for when the end is coming, and basically it's by looking at the signs and the things that we see around us that we know it's coming sooner than maybe we expect. Now, for some people, this is really an uncomfortable subject because, you know, maybe we're not, even as a believer, maybe we're not ready. Because, you know, like I've heard kids say, yeah, but I want to get married and... You know, and I want to finish my schooling, and I've got this agenda, and, you know, I don't want to think about this. So a lot of people process this by not thinking about it, by putting it out of mind and out of sight. But the reality is it's coming.
Amen.
You know, everybody says there's no things more sure than taxes or death, but... For some, the end will come quicker than the others because some of us will go before Jesus comes back. You know, we don't know. So we ought to be prepared for the end, whether it's the end that way or if it's the end that Jesus, you know, actually comes back. So times and seasons you can know, but the exact date you probably can't know. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter says the same thing. He says the day will come like a thief. So all of this points to whenever it is, it'll be unexpected. So how do you prepare? How do you expect to prepare for the unexpected? You know, more or less, what's your insurance policy look like? Because that's what people would like to do. They just like to, well, why can't we just, you know, do a checkout insurance policy, you know, against the end times and against Jesus coming back? Well, there is one, but it's not like that. Okay, the second point is don't be caught unaware. So it's a surprise. Basically, it's not a surprise to all people, but it's a surprise to comfortable, acclimatized people. You know, they're used to the way things are, and now suddenly the things are not that way. So it's a surprise to them, but to any believer, it shouldn't be a surprise. When it happens, it should be, yes, I knew this was happening. I knew this was coming, and I'm ready. Okay, so where is this coming? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, it says, where is this coming? Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it was at the beginning of creation. So that's the attitude a lot of people have. It's been like this forever, and you guys have said, you know, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back, he hasn't come back, so it's going to be like this forever. But he says, watch out, because then sudden destruction will come, and that sudden destruction could bring the final judgment. In Mark 13, verse 8, it says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But these are but the beginning of birth pangs. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 says, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon pregnant women, and they will not escape. So their lives... lived, if you're a believer and your life is lived in faith, hope, and love, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, they show that they've obtained salvation in Christ, And they live out their sanctification in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. So what we're talking about here is don't be caught unaware. And the way you don't get caught unaware is to put your life in line with your faith and what you say you believe. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8 says, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the message is just stay alert. Amen. Stay focused and stay alert. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 and 7 says, so let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. Ephesians 5, 18 says, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, or what's another good word for debauchery? It's like unfettered feeding your own passions and pleasures, I guess is the word. But it says, but be filled, or the word be filled is really be continually filled with the Spirit. And then other verses say, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So if you live your life as a worship to God, then you'll be ready.
Amen.
So, I mean, don't neglect your prayer life. Don't neglect your word life. Don't neglect your worship life. Don't neglect fellowshipping together as believers. Encourage one another. Be a believer that lives his faith. Reach out to others with the gospel and with compassion and with love. You know, put away hatred and bitterness and divide and just reach out to people. You don't have to agree with everything they say or do. Just love them and look for opportunities to minister into their lives. So the children of light will be found awake and sober and thus prepared for his return. Okay, so the last thing is, how do you prepare? And then we'll take a break and give you an opportunity to talk with with each other about a couple of scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 says, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet, the hope of salvation. So the first thing to be prepared is make sure of your own salvation. Have you repented of sin and come to God and asked Jesus to come into your life? If you haven't, you need to do that. Because that's the first step of being born again, being born into the kingdom of God. It has to do with believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confessing his lordship in your life. That's the first step into the kingdom of God. It's preparation for that day when Jesus is going to return. Galatians 5, verse 6, 5 and 6 says, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So if I want to be prepared, I need to ask myself the question, is my faith working through love? You know, a lot of people say, I have faith and whatever, but then they don't love people. And they're in strife all the time. And they live a life of strife. And they think, I hope I'm ready for Jesus to come back. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says that we should forgive one another. So, yeah, I know there's somebody pushing your buttons. And you can blame them and say it's their fault. And you might be right and they might be wrong. But as a believer, you have to be more like the duck and let it run off your back like the water runs off a duck's back. Because offenses are going to come. You just don't need to be a part of the You don't need to be a part of the problem. You need to be a part of the solution. The solution is to forgive people. Well, what if they don't accept it? Well, what if they do? And if they don't, at least you've done the right thing. Amen? And you can't be responsible for what they do or what they don't, but you can be responsible for what you do. Amen. And what you do is to forgive them, even if they don't deserve it.
Amen.
I mean, one time we deserved hell too. And somebody forgave us, and his name was Jesus. He went to the cross for us, and he was nailed there and wounded and bruised and crushed for us so that we could be healed, delivered, and saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, where are we here? Yeah, he's coming back.
Amen.
Okay, so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In other words, be ready to take the gospel places. Verse 16, Ephesians 6:16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, for with it you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So there's a way to take care of evil. It's to put up the shield of faith, because it quenches all the fiery darts that are aimed at you. Take the helmet of salvation. In other words, protect your mind with salvation. And the sword of the Spirit. Use the word of God effectively. Begin to learn the word of God. Begin to use the word of God effectively. You don't have to know the whole Bible, but there's some key things you need to know. Amen? You should want to know the whole Bible, but you don't have to know it all in order to succeed. But there are some really, really important factors that you do need to know if you want to fight back. Faith, hope, and love are likened to the armor that protects believers and prepares them for spiritual battle. Hope is like a blueprint. Faith uses it to create what you want. Salvation. We need to have the hope of salvation inside of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and put on a helmet, a hope of salvation. I know I'm repeating some of these scriptures, but they make the point. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. And finally, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. God has an inheritance for you. When you accept Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, and when you take him into your life, then God has an inheritance for you. The inheritance is eternal life. If you have that inheritance, you're prepared. You're prepared for any eventuality whenever it happens. Doesn't matter if it's today, tomorrow, next week, next year. You're ready. But the point is to stay ready and not get weary, not get fatigued, and not quit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so this is a time where we break into smaller groups and just have a chance to discuss a few things. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. That's not what usually people do. For we know that they will help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So even though we may face some difficult times, we're confident and not fearful. We're joyful and not distressed.
Hallelujah.
Because we know he's with us. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll take us through every situation, every circumstance. You can have that confidence today if Jesus is your Lord. Praise the Lord. So while the answers to the question when may not be very satisfying, it should move us not to be caught unaware. And it should spur us on to be prepared. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, Lord, through these difficult and sometimes strange times. And Lord, we just ask you that we would always have our hearts open to you, Lord, to hear your voice, to follow your leading and your guidance and your direction. And Father, that you will help us to avoid the pitfalls, wrong turns, wrong forks in the road. And Father, that on that day when Jesus returns, that we would all be ready to meet him with joyful response coming into your kingdom, Lord. And for it, we thank you and we give you glory, honor, and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's just say these words. Such a great salvation.
Thank you for such a great salvation.
To bring me healing.
To bring me healing.
Deliverance and salvation.
Deliverance and salvation.
I'm so grateful.
I'm so grateful.
Thank you that you didn't stay in the grave.
Thank you that you didn't stay in the grave.
But you're alive and well today.
But you're alive and well today.
And you've sent your spirit to live inside of us.
And you've sent your spirit to live inside of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
For giving us this time to live in.
For giving us this time to live in.
To represent you.
To represent you.
And your kingdom.
And your kingdom.
To this generation.
To this generation.
Help us never to fail.
Help us never to fail.
To share our faith.
Share our faith.
And to give the good news to everyone.
And to give the good news to everyone.
In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.